You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on things. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco, how are you? This is TJ.
I'm super duper. I'm telling you right now.
Hey, super duper is good. And to take a quote from that YouTuber about Bigfoot, Rick Turiolo, how's my little bunch of Squatch monsters doing this evening? Yeah. You know, guys, it's we've been on expedition now for the last what's the date today? The 8th?
It is the 8th.
So for the last 8 days, we've been, we started off in California, and, you know, we had the sightings down here in Texas, more sightings than anyplace else, so we thought we'd start the expedition off there, and we cruised up to a locale here an hour and a half south of Winsboro, Texas. And it's butted up against 27,000 acres of national forest. And he has a lease out there. His lease people have been coming back and telling him we want our money back because there's something out there. We don't want to hunt the lease. So he was kind of getting a little perturbed, just thinking people were trying to run him off because, you know, they don't want to pay him because they're not getting any deer. But, you know, there's something going on out there. We were out there for 2 days and two nights. And, well, you know, I got my team with me, Mr. Frank and T3, Big Frank and T3. And we spent some time out there with Leek and a few other people checking the area out. What an area. It's deep. It's muddy. It's nasty. It's in the bottoms down there. And, you know, hey, Frank, you out with us, Big Frank?
I'm here.
You know, why don't you tell our folks a little bit about what you've experienced since the newest person on the team and what's been going on, what you've been thinking. Been driving you nuts?
Well, what was driving me nuts while we were down there was trying to figure out what was surrounding us and what this weird sound was. It's really hard to explain, but we could hear like steps and then weird sounds that.
Hey, Big Frank. Big Frank.
Yeah.
We're discussing the place south of Winnsboro. We're not in Fred, Texas yet. We're talking
okay.
About the first couple nights when you guys were right. That up behind and we were setting up the bait and all that.
Okay. All right. So that night, where do I even start? Heard a couple weird things. Let's see. Not really much except for, you know, a couple of noises here and there. It was really hard to distinguish what the sound was.
Mm-hmm.
But we can never really get a visual as much as we tried to, you know, to figure out what it was that was surrounding it.
Well, you know, I'm more interested in hearing and the people out there, you know, your first time out, you know, you're not a really big footer. This is all new to you. What do you think about this kind of stuff?
Well, I mean, at first I was a little skeptical coming into the expedition. But, you know, after spending a couple of nights out here, there's definitely something out there that is really hard to explain.
Yeah, well.
Go ahead.
Hard to explain is a general term. I mean, you know, you're from Portugal. You grew up in Portugal. And out in the woods out there in the forest, I guess you call it a forest or a jungle, I'm sure you've got some strange things going on. But when you come to the U.S. and you're going out with the Bigfoot hunters and, you know, we got all this gear and you hear all these stories. I mean, do you think Bigfoot exists?
Well, for what I've experienced these past couple of days, I definitely say yes. But visually wise, you know, it's kind of hard to really even get a glimpse of this guy. You know, back in Portugal, there wasn't really anything like this, or you know, anything we even heard of similar to this. So mm-hmm. To come here and you know. Hear about it and then, you know, somewhat experience it firsthand, it was definitely an experience.
Well, you know, you're summed up with everybody else in the world. We want to believe, we haven't seen it, we're not there yet, but if we see it, we're going to climb on board that train and shoot on down the railroad tracks. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Definitely.
Outstanding. You know, we got my son T3. This is his second expedition. And what do you think, Tommy? You know, you're a flat-out skeptic. I mean, you're the biggest skeptic on the team. So tell us what you think is going on.
Well, to be frank, I'm just still waiting, you know. It's my second expedition. And, I mean, I heard a couple noises. I didn't really get to see very much last time. I mean, but I heard some things that may be something that isn't what I think it is. You know, I hear howls. They don't sound quite right, but... I mean, you want to think coyote, you want to think something that you already know. But, I mean, so far, I'm just really waiting for that night where I get to see something that goes, makes me think, well, this is definitely something else. This is definitely Bigfoot.
Absolutely. You know, coming from a family of Bigfooters where, you know, your grandpa's seen them, I saw them back in 2007, and... you know, you're coming into this business. You know, there's more skeptics than there are, you know, believers. What do you have to say to the skeptics?
Well, for me personally, being a skeptic, but I mean, I have you guys. I mean, I want to believe because you guys believe. But in the end, you know, you got to see it for yourself. You can't blame someone for not believing something that no one really sees, no one really talks about in the open. You know, it's just that thing that you have to see for yourself, and then once you see it, you're a true believer. You can't stop.
You know, you hit the nail on the head, son. You know, folks, you know, you're out in the woods. Your mind kind of goes crazy on you, and you, like he said, you want to believe. You want to picture something that you hear something else. And having a true skeptic, somebody that you've never seen, is refreshing because it levels everything out. So I'll say that track looks like this, and he'll go, "Well, maybe somebody in a boot print last week walked by," and you know, it kind of levels you out. That's all I got to say about that. But you know, having these two guys on my team right now is tremendous. You know, it's awesome. And the energy, the enthusiasm, the strength, the willingness to do what it takes is refreshing. That's all I got to say to you guys.
Well, TJ.
Yeah.
We got Kelly on there, too. He could give his little version of what was going on this week.
Well, you know, let's just move on over to Kelly. You know,
hey, Kelly.
Last November, Kelly, go ahead and tell our folks and our listeners about last November and Juvenile. Go ahead.
So let me kind of give a recap of it, right? November 2013 was the, you know, it was, in fact, it was like November the 12th, 2013. That's when I came a true believer. I mean, you know, there was within no shadow of a doubt that, you know, what I experienced and what we saw was it's Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that I became very aware, you know, the hair trying to stand up on the back of your neck, and it was like in the Matrix. But so after that, some things kept happening, and you know, slowly over time, I realized that,
Audrey,
you know, this is something that exists. The Bigfoot attacking lady. Oh, hey, Aubrey.
Hey, how you doing?
So, you know, people on the property were also seeing it. And, you know, people that I've known for 30 years were, you know, seeing it on the property. And some people stayed and some people left. You know, they didn't want to. And they were scared to go in the woods, you know. But I figured, you know, after so many years, if it was really going to eat me, it probably ate me a long time ago when I wasn't paying attention. So, you know, they come in all sizes. You know, I've got the photo of the juvenile, you know, the same area where you said you heard the walking back and forth. That's where
long
I got you from that. Yeah. That's where I text you from that day saying, man, it's walking back and forth. It's pacing in the woods. I can hear it out there walking. And isn't that odd? You got the same place. You heard the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, things add up. You know, one and one makes two, you know. And next thing you know, you're saying, well, I've experienced all this stuff. You hear tree knocks in the middle of the night when they shouldn't be there. You hear the howls. You know, it's just a fact of life now. You know, I accept it. You know, I don't care what people think anymore. You know, somebody says, oh, you're nuts. I think, yeah, let's compare paychecks. So, yeah. But, you know, they live around us, you know, and they can avoid us. They've been doing it a long time. So, you know, most people aren't there out in the woods looking for the signs that they leave behind. But when you find your first track, you're looking all the time after that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, folks, You know, I gotta give kudos to Kelly because, you know, we met, was it 2015 we met, Kelly?
2014.
God, time flies. My goodness.
Yeah.
We got a call, and Kelly was telling us about the folks that were, you know, haunting his lease, and they were seeing strange things. And I remember there was a story about a guy that was in Afghanistan, and he was haunting your lease. Remember that?
Yep.
Can you share that with our guys?
So Rob had been hunting down in the creek bottom for a couple years, right? And one night about 2 o'clock in the morning, his truck shows up over there at the camp, you know. And he always camped out in the woods because, you know, I guess he felt a little more comfortable with trees than with people. And,
sure.
So the next morning, you know, I go out there to, you know, stoke the fire up while I'm cooking breakfast. And, you know, he's right there. And I tell him, hey, what's the deal, dude? He said, man, I ain't going back over there, Kelly. Well, I went, what's up, Rob? He goes, I don't know. He said, it was dark and I could hear all this growling. He goes, and all of a sudden this big thing ran by me. And I said, big thing? He goes, yeah, whatever it was blocked the light that I could see, you know, from just the, you know, the night sky. And so after that happened, he would never go back. He left all his stuff down there. In fact, some of it's still back there in the woods.
Is that his stuff down there in those bottoms that was down there when I was down there?
No, that's on the other side of the creek.
Okay.
But, you were on the west side. That would be over on the east side of it. But
I kind of wonder, you know, we were out there and, you know, we found a chair, we found water. I'm thinking to myself, why are people leaving this stuff out in the middle of the woods? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder how many people didn't tell you, Kelly, that they saw something. They were worried or kind of, you know, that they were going to be ridiculed. They just left it there and didn't tell you and left.
Yeah. But,
you know.
Yeah.
What part of Texas is that?
This is Fred, Texas.
Yeah. Fred, Texas?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Oh, God. What am I saying? Folks, you know, I want to thank my panel for coming on tonight. Audrey in Kentucky. We got Leo in North Carolina. We got Kelly down in Texas. We got Rocky in Arkansas. So, you know, let's talk Bigfoot. That's what we're going to do. We're going to try to, you know, educate all you folks out there about Bigfoot, what's going on. But like I said, we're on an expedition, and we spent two nights down there in Fred. And, you know, the first night, I got to say this, folks, you know, we left 20-degree weather to come down to 85-degree weather, you know, in a day and a half. It's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know, there are parts of the country that stay warm during the winter in February. You know, it was amazing. And none of us packed any warm clothes because we were still planning to go for the winter time. So we got long sleeve thermals, and here we are in 85-degree weather. And, but the job is done. And we're out on Kelly's property, and Kelly's got some pretty cool gear, I'll tell you that much. That's all I got to say. But we get some texts. There's some deer over here. There's some pigs over there. And we know exactly where to go. Guys, if you're hunting Bigfoot, I learned something new this time. There's an app out there for hunters called Marco Polo. And it'll allow you, if you've got cell phone service, to talk to somebody visually. And you can kind of show him on the phone where you're at. And that person can talk you into the area you need to be. All I got to say is it'll be on my phone and everybody's phone that I have on my beach. It is called Marco Polo. It has a different colored. There's a couple apps called Marco Polo, but this one has a rubber ball like the old beach balls with the different panels. There's different colors. It's that one right there. Download that. You can talk to people in the woods. They can tell you where to go. It's a snap. What do you think about that, Kelly?
Oh, yeah. Me and my little group, we like it. Because, you know, a lot of times you're talking to somebody and you're saying, hey, well, I'm over here by this little bottom. Well, which bottom is it? Show it to me. You know, and you just turn the camera around on your phone and, you know, they can see that, you know. And, yeah, I like it, you know. In fact,
it's amazing.
It helps pass time.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, and heck. You know, I think to myself, I know everything, but I learn something new every day or every week, you know. But this is the story. We spent our second night. First night, we were out in an area where Kelly could monitor his cameras. And we actually had to move from the area because there was nothing happening. And there was some a loose or feral dog that was scaring all the prey around and away. So I knew there was nothing going to be there. So we went down to the area where the long shot was. And when I say long shot, folks, I mean it's a hunt where you've got a pretty long shot with a clearing open to where you can shoot your whatever prey is going to be. And we moved all the way to the end of the clearing, and we sat there. And around, I guess it was between 2 and 2:30 in the morning, where we started hearing something on our peripheral moving through the woods. And frankly, you know, you're going to go, ah, it could be a pig, it could be a deer, it could be everything. I mean, folks, I didn't believe big cats lived in Texas. But literally, we found a paw print of, I got to say, this cat must have been 200-300 pounds at least from the paw print. I sent you a picture, didn't I, Kelly?
Yeah. Yeah, we've got, you know, they're just like a mountain lion. They're just an East Texas cat. And
yeah.
They'll eat anything they can get their claws on.
Yeah, they were tracking them pigs, but we were out there and we're starting to hear this stuff. So we're looking through the thermals, we're looking through the night vision, the MBGs, and we're trying to see. But it was staying on the outside of our peripheral, and we couldn't see nothing. And it sounded almost as if it was like either pacing back or forth, or like a half moon, you know, to a spot and coming back around, which was really strange. You know, because an animal or a pig is going to, you know, take a whiff and then move on or just kind of run through. And this is the area where you had the sighting of the juvenile. So there's some credence to what was going on because it's pretty way
yeah.
down there in the bottom. If you were to hang a left at the feeder, it's about 100 yards in.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that area, that's where the one guy was back in there during the summertime, I guess a couple years ago, and he said Bigfoot run him out of the woods, him and his wife, and, you know, he never came back. You know, I got a lot of people that always leave me because of this thing.
You know, if people don't understand, somebody's been hunting all their life, gets scared out of the woods, something scared them out of the woods. And that's
yeah.
just the way it is. Because they got a gun with them, you know what I mean? And I guess I got to say, if I didn't believe and I was out there, hey, I could believe it would be ghosts that scared me out of the woods if I saw a ghost, you know? But we know this creature's there. We know it's hunting, it's feeding. You know, we are moving north right now, and we're meeting up with some folks, guys. And I don't know if you folks have heard this, but there's been a couple incidents in the Texoma area. If you Google it or YouTube it, they're going to come up as the Floor incident or the Brown Springs incident, where the creature has actually, and these are documented. You can call the police department up there, and it's documented, where they have the first time was about 10 years ago, the police were called out to an abandoned vehicle in Brown Springs. And they come upon a vehicle, and there's a woman on top of the hood of a car. She was eviscerated, bruised up, obviously Well, they said in the report that she was raped, and well, she was dead. Her eyes were wide open, so she had died looking at her killer. And there was her boyfriend. They found out later was her boyfriend. They had just gone out there to, you know, whatever. And he was down in a tree. His head was twisted around. His arm was pulled off. And the reporter, you know, knew one of the local constables or cops or sheriffs. And he asked him, hey, can you give us a story? Was this a serial killer, you know, type murder? And they explained to him that, no, there's nothing that had to do with that. And there were some strange markings on the ground and things like that. And then back in the 1800s, there was a Civil War troop that was out there that ran into a whole bunch of these beasts. And the captain of the regiment pretty much was murdered by one of these creatures. And these things, if you Google Brown Springs, Oklahoma, a whole bunch of very, very wicked stories come about. And these Indians tell it all the way up until these days. So we hooking up with a gentleman that's going to take us out to an area where in December when he was hunting in a place called Jimmy's Field, him and his hunt crew were spotlighting pigs. At 2:30 in the morning, they saw something that they didn't realize, they didn't understand what it was because pigs aren't, you know, this large. And this thing, well, actually, let me back up, sorry. They heard a big thump where a tree got pushed over. And they were all, you know, kind of dozing off. And it woke them up. And they were watching over in the area. And they were trying to figure out what that was. And what they told me was, is that they saw a creature that looked almost about 1,000 pounds. They were afraid to shoot out of it. Actually, when it got close to them, they said, hey, that's going to get you shot. You better stop it, thinking it was somebody. And it let out a giant roar or a screech. It was more of a roar than what he said it was. And they were thinking, okay, somebody's messing with us. So they started screaming at it in the same direction. We're going to shoot you. And it roared again. And then off to the right, something else happened. Well, he told me that it was about a 1,000-pound creature that they didn't have a big enough gun. They didn't want to shoot at it because if they shot it, they thought they were going to get hurt. So they backed out. And, well, long story short, we're here. We're going to go help them out. And we're going to go check this area out. So I got to ask my panel, do you guys think that the alpha male out there that could be 1,000 pounds, 10 or 11 feet tall, anybody?
Why not?
That's kind of huge.
I think so.
Have you seen some of the size of our basketball players?
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Well, you know, I hear the stories of alpha males that, you know, they when somebody tells me, I don't know about you guys, you know, I sometimes get calls, it was 15 foot tall, it was 4 foot wide, it was 1,200 pounds. And I tell them, if you were out there with three people, you saw King Kong and nobody else saw it. You know what I mean?
King Kong.
Well, come on, think about that. 12, 15 foot tall, to me that's King Kong. You know?
Yeah, that is. That's huge.
Yeah, you know, and how does
they just got excited? You know, you got your adrenaline, bro. You see something bigger than what it is.
Yeah, you know, that's Audrey, so everybody knows. Audrey out in Kentucky. She's our weekly gal. We love her. You know, tell us, Audrey. I mean, you know, some of your stories are pretty fantastic. But if you ever told me, you know, you had a 15-foot-tall Bigfoot in your backyard, I'd be a little leery and skeptical. Wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, I would.
I mean, have I ever seen
one? You better
one?
Be.
No. What was that? That must be lit.
I said, yeah, I said, you better be.
Yeah, big time. I'd be running. I need more than a 500 Smith & Wesson. I need something else, you know. We need to have a cannon for that. You know, I want to shoot out there to Leo. You know, Leo, you've been now with us now almost 2 years. Oh,
yes,
by the way, Leo, we're coming out that direction.
We ready.
You over there. Yeah, be ready, brother. You, me, and Mr. Mike Green, we're going to go out there in the Uwari. So,
yes, sir.
I do apologize for my voice, guys. Little whatever run down, I don't know. Who knows? But tell us what's been going on in the Uwari over there, Leo.
Well, we've had a couple people that I had a couple people that's calling me things they've seen in Uwari Forest. And what a lot of people fail to realize here in North Carolina, Uwari Forest is the hottest spot in North Carolina for Bigfoot activity right now. It's even hotter than Asheville, believe it or not, in the western part of the mountains near the Virginia and the Georgia line. But piggyback off of what Kelly was saying and in reference to the Afghanistan veteran and also to tie into what TJ number two was saying, you know, I went in this thing years ago when I was a child. I still got something that's a collector's item, probably worth a lot of money, Bigfoot bedroom shoes that were from the Patterson era.
Whoa. Bigfoot bedroom shoes? You mean slippers?
Yeah, you can say that.
Gosh, I just
want to
make sure.
Yeah, I'm old school. But anyway, you know, when I first hooked up with TJ and Tom Sr., you know, I started getting information and getting techniques and things to use. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a combat vet. I'm a Marine. And Rocky will tell you Marines don't scare easily. And I'll let the listeners out there go figure out what Leo means. You know, being in law enforcement for 20 years and being on the side of the road, I don't scare easily. But the first thing that really, really put the nail in the coffin with me being a true believer, which I've always been a true believer, but really to put the icing on the cake, as people would say, is when I went to Uwari Forest and I went to the same area that Mike Green had his famous encounter with the infrared video that a lot of people see worldwide. On this particular day, I did some filming of the territory so I can go back and take notes, and I found some tree breaks. So
is that when you called me and sent me that video?
And I can tell the listeners, when I called TJ, TJ will tell you I was scared. And I'm going to tell you why I was scared, the reason I knew something was out there. I had my weapon with me, and when I played the video back, when I got home, my wife looked at the video, and she seen the shadow in the back. She said, "What the hell was that ran past you?" I didn't see it at the time, because at the time in the video, you could hear in my voice that I said, "Oh, I hear a growl." I knew it wasn't a dog, and the first thing in my mind was, is it a bear nearby? So I took my weapon, placed it in front of me. I said, if this thing's going to get me, I'm going to at least get two rounds off. So you can hear another growl in the background. So I never did see the shadow until I sent the video to TJ, and TJ had it analyzed. He looked in the back. So TJ called me back, and he said, "Hey, man, what the hell was that ran behind you?" And I never did know. But that particular day, a lot of people don't believe about the hair standing up on the back of your neck. Again, you know, being a combat veteran, 20 years of law enforcement, it's a lot of things out there that don't scare me. But that particular day, I was scared, but it wasn't a scare for my life. I was scared for what I was about to see. And the hair raised up on the back of my neck, and you can see in the video, which is on, I don't know if TJ's posted yet on the Facebook page, but you can see in the video, as soon as I heard the growl and I observed the tree break, you can see me going down the backside of what they call West Morse Mountain, which is a mountain that years ago they said that a family of Bigfoots lived in, and that's what the Indians in the Uwari Forest would always say. You can see me going down that mountain almost like a running back running for the touchdown, and I was like, you know, I got to get somewhere open where I can see where this thing is. But the thing about it, a lot of people fail to realize, you got to go in this thing, you got to be a skeptic. When you go out hunting, Don't ask for anything to happen. Don't want anything to happen. Just sit back and see what does happen. That's what you got to do, you know. And when that happens, something will happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's like going fishing. If you don't catch that big fish the first day, go back the next day.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think Mike Green says it best. Bigfoot hunting is 99% pure and utter boredom with 1% terror that surprises the crap out of you. You know, I sitting here contemplating, I'm doing a Bigfoot radio show, and 11 years ago, I thought it was all a bunch of, you know, hogamahoo, you know. I had my experience, and ever since then, I became a true believer, and it's to the point where I don't care what anybody else thinks. I mean, you can call me crazy. My wife calls me crazy, okay? My daughters call me nuts, okay? They don't even, don't you wear that Bigfoot hat to my school, Dad. You know, it's like, are you nuts? You know, you ain't embarrassing me. But, you know, they don't get it. You know, we go through life 24/7. We get up in the morning. We have a routine. We beat ourselves. We go to work. We stop and get our coffee. We get to work. We do our job. We come home. We do our honeydews. We sit in front of that TV. We watch what we watch. We eat some dinner. We go to bed. And we do that in repetition 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week. You know, and we get caught up in that reality of this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we're supposed to believe. And we get away from nature, the world, reality, what's out there. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, I think to myself now, I could walk 100 Bigfoot through the middle of any town after 10 o'clock at night, you know, and nobody would know because nobody cares. And when we stop caring to go out and look and see what's out there, all the new species that are being acknowledged in the world. You know, it takes the 50, 60, 70 to 100 years ago, we went out and we looked as a human race. But we've stopped doing that now. We don't get out. We don't spend time on the planet. We spend time in a room in front of a TV or a computer or a phone. You know, who would have thought that we could be somewhere and we wouldn't get cell phone signal? You know, I'm so used to having cell phone signal. I mean, literally, we have 3 different phones we take with Expedition. I had one bar when I was on Kelly's property, and I could get texts out. If the wind blowed really good, I might be able to get a 2-minute conversation going. But there are places like this still on the planet. You know, Audrey, you're out there in Kentucky where the wind don't blow and the moonshine flows. So I know you've got a lot of left-wing, right-wing, straight middle Bigfoot stories, but what has scared you the most about the street?
What scared me the most about them?
Yeah.
Because they're huge. They're a pretty good size. Them big ones are. Them big dark ones. The dark ones, the big ones, and the next to that, we put that peanut butter. They scared me because they were so huge, and I knew what they could do if they was mad at you. They just smack you, take your head off, and rolling down in the dirt. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, you're my Bigfoot whisperer. You know that, right?
Huh?
When I refer to you as people, I refer to you as our Bigfoot whisperer. You know what that means, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay. You commune with that creature. And my buddy Rocky, down in Arkansas, he's my hillbilly whisperer because he communes with Bigfoot in a special kind of way that you don't. Okay? You're feeding him out of your hand. They're carrying him off in the woods. And Well, Rocky, let me ask you a question. Do you think that if you were out just camping, would Bigfoot harm you, or is he coming to harm you if you're out to harm him?
If we meet up out in the woods, I'm afraid at this point that I'm going to be the one that starts the hard times, because I always carry a gun. As I've said all along, that until somebody shoots one, puts it on the table, there's going to be skeptics, and that's kind of one of my purposes in life, is to prove to everybody that Tom Biscardi wasn't blowing smoke up nobody's butt.
What about yourself? I mean, you know him as well as I do. He don't care what nobody thinks, and I appreciate that. But you yourself, Rocky, had your encounter. And I've never asked you this. Do people think you're nuts, Rocky, about your encounter?
Well, people have thought I was nuts since I was just a little boy. And I don't guess I've given many reasons not to, but there are those that think that I'm been smoking some good stuff. And of course, you know, anytime anything like that comes up, I've always got to Swede there to put them in line if I'm not there to explain,
right,
read to them from the book. So, I'm sure there's a lot of people that think I'm crazy, but there's more that don't.
Yeah.
There's more. Yep. There's so many of them. Just like there at my restaurant.
Right.
More and more people are coming up and asking me about it. All right. That started the first time they saw the real Bigfoot Hunter trailer sitting in front of my restaurant. And that was the first time. That was the first time I met your dad. Anyhow, there wasn't a whole lot I could say back then, because I didn't. It took him three times before I finally, you know, come clean with everything, because, well, I'm just like anybody else. I don't want to be called crazy. I don't want to be called ignorant. I don't, none of that. But, you know, it's kind of, that part of it is, you know, it's kind of, my skin's a little thicker now. And
yeah.
I do have a lot of people approaching me there at the restaurant. I've got cards in barbershops and all that. And anyhow, I do have people coming up asking me about it. And a lot of them, you know, they're pretty skeptical. Some of them just, some of them are, believe, 100%.
Right.
I've had people come up and tell me stuff that they've seen out in the woods. I have people that talk to people and then call me, and it's one of those things. Then you've got to, whenever you talk to people, you can kind of get an idea from most of them if they're, you know, trying to shine you on or not. But there's a lot of people out there that probably think that I'm crazy, but like I say, there's more that don't. And a lot of people just, I don't know how many people I've had tell me that, you know, said, oh, if you need somebody to go with you, you know, here's my phone number. And, well, I've got a drawer full of phone numbers, and not all of them have names on them. But anyhow, I've got, you know, a lot of people that want to go, a lot of people that just swear that they've seen it, And, you know, that's one of those things when people swear that they've seen it. You know, I don't doubt that they've seen something. A lot of times they probably haven't seen exactly what they think they did. But it's changed a lot. It's changed a lot. A lot of the people, when they first found out, thought that, you know, I was just, you know, some old wild-eyed pistol waver. But turned out that I'm serious.
Yeah. You know,
hey,
go ahead, Leo.
Hey, Rocky, this is Leo. Hey, I knew from beginning, TJ, you know, from my experience and in my field of work and being in the military, when I watched the videos, you know, I've talked to Rocky, but I've never met Rocky face-to-face at all. And I can't wait to meet you, Rocky, face-to-face. But I know from the times that I've talked to Rocky doing the on the radio show, and I know the videos I've seen, from my experience, I can look at a person's face from 20 years of what I do and being military. I can tell someone, metaphorically speaking, is a liar. And from the videos I've seen to the people out there that are skeptics of Rocky, I'm telling you the man is true. Because it doesn't take much for me to talk to a person off top and in my experience to know if you're full of it. And like I say, once again, I'm not patting the man on his back, tooting his own horn, but from what I've seen, I can genuinely see when someone's acting or when someone's true. So,
well, you know, Leo, folks, Leo means law enforcement officer, and we keep his name confidential because of the line of work he's in, okay? And, you know, these folks are trained weekly, monthly, daily, yearly, I don't know, to interrogate, to see if somebody's twitching or their eyeballs are pulsing or their carotid artery is bumping out. That's what they do. And when for him to say that, you know, he's pretty true. He's spot on. And, you know, we've met, we've sat, and, you know, to me, well, heck, I was pulled over by some of the gentlemen out there in law enforcement in his area. And somebody has to mellow out a little bit. Somebody's been seasoned enough and trained enough to understand they move up in the force. And Leo has moved up far.
A little story about the law enforcement thing. Me and Tommy was, I don't even remember where we were, but they were stopping everybody, checking driver's license and insurance and all that. And so when it came our turn, the officer came up and he looked at my truck. And, of course, it had the searching for Bigfoot signs on the side. And anyhow, he asked Tommy, said, "What are you going to do if you see one?" And Tommy said, "I guess I'll take a selfie." And when he said that, the guy looked at him and said, "Sir, I don't have a sense of humor." That's actually the end of the story. It was really funny.
Well, hey Rocky, it's guys that work with me to know that this is something I do on my off time. That I go to Uwari Forest, that I go to Bryson City, go to Asheville. I've been down to Jacksonville.
I've been to Uwari.
And they know what I do, and they always ask me all the time. They say, "Hey, Leo, what you going to do, man, when you retire?" I said, "Hey, I'm going to be a full-time Bigfoot hunter." I said, "You know, I'm going to be full-time with Tom Biscardi." I said, "Right now I'm the lookout here in North Carolina for Tom Biscardi." I said, "I'm going to be full-time. Trust me." So, I mean, you know, I get ridiculed, but, hey, I know what I experience, and I told him, I said, when I do get that money picture, I said, shame on you guys.
You know, to carry on with what you're saying, Leo, you know, folks, there is such a separation in the Bigfoot community, which really irritates the crap out of me, because, you know, we're all believers. You know, whether we want to think it or not, we're all in the same bed. But most of the people out there, except for a certain class, a certain group, are all separated, are all hoarding their information. Nobody wants to share nothing. And if we were to commingle all of our information, all of our knowledge, we might be able to get a ending to this. And it really upsets me that there's so much going on out there where people are infighting so much. I want to be the first. I want to be the first. Let me tell you something. If somebody tomorrow besides us found Bigfoot, not including Rick Dyer, we all know that's fake, and was to prove it to the world, all of us are vindicated. You know, it's wonderful. What do you think about that, Audrey?
Yeah, it sounds about right.
You know, because I know you hear from people. You tell us all the time, Audrey. I know you guys are going to think I'm crazy, and I know you say that because you hear that from people a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But you don't care what they say. You know what you saw.
It's insignificant. People are insignificant. If you base your life on what people think and feel about you, how are you going to be yourself? If they can't accept you for what you are, then heck with them. That's their problem, not yours.
Thank you. And that's why you're our Bigfoot whisperer, honey. You know, Kelly was telling me, he goes, how's Audrey doing? I said, she's doing wonderful. She doesn't care what nobody thinks. She knows what she saw. He said to me, that's the kind of woman I like. Isn't that right?
That's right. But it's been weird around here last week, though. It has been kind of weird. We've got, well, 2 days ago I had my monitor on and I haven't heard much, but I heard like a screaming, real loud pitch, like a woman screaming, and then that growl sound, and then that was it. But all of a sudden there's like, anywhere from 6 to 8 people out there in brown and dark brown camouflage from their head down. They got a little thing around their head, just out there walking around. Yeah,
what
all kinds of mess
about?
There's some
on
kind of guys
property?
Out there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, my cousin's seen them. She's seen them. And I've seen one or two of them, but I didn't think nothing about it, you know. And they said, Audrey, there's more than – they're out here all the time, and all of them are dressed alike. Well, I said, well, I've seen two. But I didn't pay much attention. I thought it was hunters, you know, in the middle of the day. And sure enough, yeah, they're out there. They're having a good old time out there. I think they're – I don't know who they are or what they are, but they're camouflage, like, you know, you only see the end of their face. You know, like, I got like a mask over, but there's a hole in the face, and it's
right.
Brown, dark brown camouflage. And there's quite a bit of them out there. They're just, I said, do they see you? Yeah, the man looked right at me, and two or three of them was beside him, just walking around like, what are you going to do?
Now,
I said,
Audrey, Audrey, do they fly in on black helicopters or they walk in?
It was in the middle of the day. It was the middle of the day.
You know what that is. You know what that is, TJ.
What is that?
I'm gonna tell you what I think it is. It's just like in your Uwari Forest. You know, a lot of people fail to realize that the actual history behind Bigfoot, and which, you know, Tom Senior and Tom Junior knows, and in a lot of areas where these natural forces are close in proximity of a lot of military bases.
Oh, I remember you telling me about that. Go ahead.
Where they are having a lot of sightings of Bigfoot. Now, I can say this, in the Uwari Forest, which TJ can attest to this, being a ranger himself, in the Uwari Forest on the backside of West Morris Mountain is where a lot of the Delta Force Rangers and Special Forces do a lot of their training. So if you look at all your geographic areas where you see a lot, especially in Arkansas, you know, and Rocky can attest to this, even in Arkansas, when you start looking at Bigfoot, you can almost attach this situation to the federal government.
Mm. Well, you know, the what Leo's talking about was my incident happened just not too awful far from a supposedly a shutdown nuclear facility. All right, it was a fast oxide nuclear plant, but it had been shut down since the late 60s, I think. And anyhow, there was always stories about lights there at the facility, people coming in, people going out, but they were coming in from a different. They weren't coming in off the main road. They was coming in from somewhere else. But there was always, I mean, there's been so many stories, and then there's people in that area that talk about the sightings that they've had, the sightings that their kids have had, seeing them standing in the edge of the woods watching the kids while they're outside playing. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, the 29 Palms had the Yucca Man.
Mhm, mhm, mhm. And I know for a fact, in the past, from the books I've read, and from looking at the videos from Tom Senior, the times that I went to Uwari Forest, I know this for a fact. And this is nothing to make up to try to boost this thing that we call Bigfoot or Sasquatch. It's been plenty of times that we as LEOs have been given information, say, hey, don't patrol this particular area because the special forces is going to be training in this area. But it's been plenty of times that, you know, my off days that I do my Bigfoot hunting when I go to the war, and even when I went to Bryson City in areas, people ask me, well, how you know it's not a man in a ghillie suit? And the first thing I said, so you telling me the military is putting out 7-foot-tall rangers now? 7-foot-tall Delta Force soldiers? But in essence to that, it's been plenty of times that I went in areas like last year, the footprint, you remember that I got, TJ? That was like 16 inches? That
right.
Particular day when I went in the area where a couple of campers had seen on the backside in the lower area in the creek had spotted a Bigfoot, that particular day a government vehicle rode by when I was casting the footprint. They rode by and they stopped. And I was like, hey, I'm trying to figure out what's going on with this. And it was like in a black pickup. It's like a King cab. And they stopped and they looked. And the first thing was hit my mind was, you know, I thought it was Foresters, but being a LEO in North Carolina, I know the Foresters, they have green vehicles, and they're small Ranger type of trucks. And this particular vehicle stopped, looked at me for like 10 minutes, and kept going. So, you know, that's my take on it, but, hey, I let everybody make their own opinion.
Absolutely. You know, folks, to sum up this evening, you know, we all believe he's out there. Most of us are skeptics until we see it. So are we too quick to judge what people believe, and should we? I don't think so, because, remember, reality is 100% perception, and that's just the way it's going to go. Hey, I'd like to thank all my guests and hospitality of Kelly down in Texas, our Bigfoot Whisperer, Audrey down in Kentucky, Mr. Honky Tonk himself down in Arkansas, Mr. L.E.O. We're going to be out there and seeing you soon. And,
yes, sir.
Correct, my co-host and producer, Marco Bill. Folks, it's been a wonderful rocking week. Stay tuned for next week, because we're going to bring into you all the stuff that's going on in Oklahoma. And Mrs. Calabas, wherever you are, dig a hole and climb into it tonight. See you guys.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night everybody.
folks, once again it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're rolling together.